be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's celebration of the baptism of the Lord culminates the celebration of the Christmas season. It symbolically finishes Jesus' 3 decades of hidden life as God the Father announced at the Jordan what was concealed from the beginning from almost everyone except Mary and Joseph, a few shepherds, the wise men, Simeon and Anna, and a handful of others. That Jesus is God's own beloved Son in whom he's well pleased. Celebration of Jesus' baptism culminates the Christmas season in another way as well, because it points to our baptism, which is the means by which we enter into the saving work Jesus was born into our world to bring about. So we sing in the great Christmas hymn, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Christ, through his incarnation, has made it possible through baptism for us to enter into the mystery and meaning of Christmas and the second birth, the new life, the resurrection, and the eternity that baptism makes possible in this world and forever. Jesus entered the waters of the Jordan precisely in order to bless those waters so that they could bring about that second birth, so that what John's baptism pointed to could actually be accomplished. There's a huge difference between what John was doing in the Jordan and we do right there in the baptismal font. John's baptism was announcing the need for the forgiveness of sins. Judaism, there were always ablution rites, pointing to the fact that we need mercy. But it was shooting blanks. It couldn't give us that forgiveness. When Jesus, however, entered into the waters of the Jordan, he made those waters powerful. And as he would, 3 years later, be baptized in blood on Calvary, the fruits of that sacrifice make it possible for us in baptism not just to have a sign pointing to our need for forgiveness, but actually bring about what that sign signifies and forgive us and do so much more. This is the truth to which John the Baptist pointed immediately before the passage in today's gospel, when he contrasted what he was doing with the baptism Jesus and the church Jesus would found would carry out. "I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I'm not worthy to carry a sandal. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." That's what the Baptist, recognizing his sinfulness, says to the one whom he would call the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me." When Jesus entered the waters of the Jordan, he foreshadowed what he wanted to do in us. He made the waters of baptism capable of delivering on what they promised. This is the baptism that Jesus, in his valedictory address immediately before ascending into heaven, gave as his great commission to the church. "Go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to carry out everything I have commanded you. When Jesus was baptized, as we see in today's gospel, three things happened. First, the heavens were ripped open. Second, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And third, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." All three of these things happened sacramentally in the baptism we have received. First, on that blessed day, the heavens were opened. We were not just purified of sin, we were made heirs of heaven and eternal light. And entering the Jordan, Jesus converted it into what he would later call, in his dialogue with a woman at a well in Samaria, living water that would be like a spring in us welling up to eternal life. Second, the Holy Spirit comes down upon us at our baptism to dwell within us and make us his temple. The cleansing that happens in baptism, it's meant to make it possible for us to be an abode of God, so that God might dwell in us and we might abide in him, not just in this world, but forever. And third, God the Father turned toward us, incorporated through baptism into his Son, and said, "This is my beloved daughter. This is my little boy in whom I am well pleased." This is the incredible reality of Christian baptism. This is the reason why countless generations before us have acted faithfully upon Jesus' great commission. This is what happened to each of us as we were brought to the living Jordan and received within us the Father's love as he adopted us as his own son or daughter. As we received within the living water of Jesus' life welling up, and as we were ignited by the fire of the Holy Spirit, making us God's burning holy temple. The day of our baptism is by far the most important day of our life. No matter how old we are or will live to be, no matter how much or how little we will accomplish in the eyes of the world, that is a truly awesome day. To remember that baptismal dignity and to live in accordance with it constitute the essential task of the Christian life. 1600 years ago, St. Leo the Great, in a 5th century homily to the Christmas season that closes today, reminds us that the purpose of the celebration of Christ's birth each year, above all, is to remind us of our own rebirth of water in the Spirit and to help us learn to live as chips off the old divine block. "Christian," he wrote, "remember your dignity. Now that you share God's own nature, do not return by sin to your former base condition. Bear in mind who is your head and of whose body you are a member. Do not forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light of God's kingdom. Through the sacrament of baptism, you have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do not drive away so great a guest by evil conduct and become again a slave to the devil. For your liberty was bought by the blood of Christ." To remember our dignity and live according to our baptism is to seek to become a saint. St. John Paul II told us, "Since baptism is a true entry into the holiness of God through incorporation into Christ and the indwelling of the Spirit, it would be a contradiction to settle for a life of mediocrity marked by a minimalist ethic or a shallow religiosity. To ask catechumens, adults preparing for baptism, 'Do you wish to receive baptism?' means at the same time to ask them, 'Do you wish to become holy?' It means to set before them the radical nature of the Sermon on the Mount. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." To remember our baptismal dignity is, to some degree, to remember our baptism. And so practically, that presents somewhat of a problem for most of us who were baptized before we were capable of having any memories at all. That's one of the reasons why the church places holy water fonts at the entrance of the church, so that as we enter the church, the first thing we do is recall the saving waters of baptism, the waters that made us holy sons and daughters of God. We don't just do anything with that water. We make the sign of the cross, professing to ourselves, to others, to God, that through baptism we enter into what Christ won for us on the cross, and that we're willing and eager to pick up our cross each day and follow the Lord, learning from His sacrifice how to love to the extreme. And then we say really important words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we enter into the love of the Trinity, God who adopts us as His own, Jesus who comes to dwell within us, and the Holy Spirit who with fire cleanses us all. To remember our baptismal dignity, the holiness we received and are called to preserve, is also the reason why the church, at least every Easter, has us renew the baptismal promises either we or our parents and godparents for us made on the day of our baptism. But if the day of our baptism is really the most important day of our life, and it is, then we must celebrate it. This morning in the Vatican, Pope Francis urged all Christians for the umpteenth time to commemorate the day of our baptism every year. He implored those who don't know the day of their baptism to find out and to mark the day of our second birth with as much festivity as we mark the day of our first birth. He said, it's a duty of justice to the Lord who blessed us so much on that blessed day. It's also important for those who are parents and those who are godparents to remember the baptismal dates of their children and godchildren and celebrate those days in their loved ones' lives with joy and generosity to make it easier for children growing up to recall the blessings of that day, and with photos or videos or imagination, or by taking out the baptismal garment, or by lighting the baptismal candle they received. Help them to rededicate themselves to the reality of the baptismal covenant we entered into God with through baptism. Do you know the day of your baptism? Do you know the church where you were baptized? Mine is April 19th. Every time I go home to Lowell, Massachusetts, I make a little pilgrimage to St. Michael's Church. Well, you don't have to do this, but I do. I go and I kiss that baptismal font that made me God's son. I celebrate April 19th the way I celebrate the day I was ordained a deacon at St. Peter's in the Vatican on October 8th, the way I celebrate June 26th when I was made a priest forever in the Cathedral of Fall River, Massachusetts. What is the day of your baptism? What is the day of your children's baptisms and your godchildren? Please find out. Mark your calendar and celebrate those days like you were celebrating a 100th birthday. That's what the Holy Father is asking us to do, so that the memory of our baptism might pervade the entire way we live our Christian life. At the beginning of Mass today, we pray, Almighty, eternal God, when the Spirit descended upon Jesus at His baptism in the Jordan, You revealed Him as Your own beloved Son. Keep us, Your children, born of water and the Spirit, faithful to our calling, faithful to our vocation. As we prepare now to renew our baptismal faith in the Creed and to receive the nourishment from the altar to which our second birth pointed, We ask the Lord to help us always remember our Christian dignity, that dignity we received when we were baptized, so that we might remain faithful to our Christian vocation, live always as beloved children of God the Father, and come one day to experience heaven, to which baptism opens the door. Praise be Jesus Christ.